accession number 18090, reel 3.
This is Philip Francis, reel 2.
Right, the incident of the ramming.
Well, we were on patrol, Proteus, off the western end entrance to the Corinth Canal. Lefkas, I think, is the name of the island. I'm not certain. It was a very dark night. Oh, first of all, we had had fitted the first radar a submarine had ever had. And I was very suspicious of this radar and didn't use it. But on this occasion, I had it switched on. And we were on patrol, trimmed down with our hydroplanes, level with the water, if you can imagine it, and all ready to dive. Batteries were charged, and the first indication we had was from our radar. We couldn't see anything. Very dark, black night, no moon. And the next thing was we got the HE hydrophone effect on the sonar. What do you call it?
Aztec,
that's right. And we sighted, the next thing was we sighted what I took to be a submarine. We went into attack and fired our torpedoes at it, set at a fairly deep depth, I think 10 or 12 feet. Because
you went into attack with your torpedoes set fairly deep.
Because I thought it was a submarine.
Yeah.
And anyhow, they missed. Or maybe ran under. I think, hopefully, they ran under. And the enemy obviously saw the torpedo tracks and turned towards. And I still thought it was a submarine until it was quite close when I saw flames coming out of what I considered to be the conning tower and realized that it was, in fact, a destroyer. He was going 25 knots, I was going at about 7 or 8, so we had an approaching speed of 30 knots or more, and I had to make a very snap decision, and I think I made the right one. If I had dived to avoid being rammed, I might have been halfway down, which would have been disastrous. And so I decided, subconsciously, I suppose my naval training, that the best thing to do was to turn and meet him head on, which is what I did. And one of my hydroplanes caught him right up close to the stem and slit him the whole way down to the boiler room. I didn't know this at the time. And as we went past, I could see them running back and forth, trying to get to their guns. And anyhow, we passed without incident. And I thought, well, we're going to have a rough time now when he turns around and comes back. But of course, I didn't realize that I had done more damage than he had done to me. In fact, I left my hydroplane in the destroyer. So I had one wing had gone. It broke off. And it was actually in the destroyer.
And this was below the waterline?
Well, it was, unfortunately, it, in theory, it was right on the waterline. But unfortunately, he had a bit of a lift. It was on the... We went port side to port side. And he had a bit of a lift to port as we struck him. The result was that the hydroplane split him at water level, and then he righted, do you see what I mean? And the slit was about a foot or more. It's a very calm night. About a foot above the water, and so he didn't sink. And when we got the other side, I realized, I mean, there was a lot of water coming in where the hydroplane had had been strained and broken off. And I didn't realize I'd lost my hydroplane until the other one wouldn't work at all. And so we limped back to Alexandria.
On the surface?
No. You've got your after hydroplanes, but
oh, yeah.
You couldn't really be offensive with just the after hydroplanes. Your depth keeping was very difficult, and so the result is we decided that we weren't a fighting unit, and we limped back home, which we did. And the Italian destroyer got into harbour, and as a sequel to it all, after the war, my first lieutenant met the captain of the, I think it was called the Sedgerity or Sedgerati or something, I can't remember what the name of the base was. It doesn't really matter. Anyhow, he met the captain of the Sedgerati, and he said, of course, we sank one of your submarines, this is us, Proteus. And he said, oh, no, you didn't. You wouldn't be talking to me if you had, because I was on board. And there were various sequels to it all. But anyway, that's the picture. And that was painted by Montague Dawson, who you've heard of, probably. I'm trying to think if I've got any more Montague Dawson's. I think I have. And he painted that picture. I don't know if this is really of interest. And I remained out in Malta. Proteus came home. She'd done her period, whatever it was, 18 months, 2 years, and had to go home to refit. I stayed out there as staff officer operations. And
this was the famous Shrimp Simpson.
Oh yes, I was with another rather famous submariner called Rakeen. Ruckus, he was a great character. And we were based, by this time Rommel was knocking at the door of Alexandria, and so we moved up to Beirut. But unfortunately the Medway, which was our depot ship, was sunk, leaving Alexandria. And we had set up a shore base without any depot ship, and virtually no torpedoes because they were all in the Medway. And I was SOO, and all the...
That's what, senior officer?
Operations.
Uh-huh.
And all the submarines that were based at Malta came to Beirut, so we had quite a lot of submarines, all based at Beirut and operating from Beirut. And
you had other depot ships, presumably, that came over?
No, nothing. It was all shore-based.
So all your supplies had to be shipped in by...
Torpedoes were the things we wanted. Well, Beirut was fairly well off. It was, there was plenty of food around, and I think plenty of stores. Lebanon, isn't it, Beirut? Yes. And there hadn't been much of a war there anyway. And there was no difficulty about food, but it was all the military stores we were short of, particularly the torpedoes. Anyhow, we had, and Malta had been evacuated by some submarines, and I think the situation in Malta got better while we were there, and all the little U-boats went back there again. And it was then that I moved to Malta with Shrimp Simpson. I was only there a short time. But I do remember the, what was the thing called, the Ohio?
Yes, the tanker.
The tanker. I do remember that tanker arriving. Because they were brave chaps, those chaps. There was a thing on the television today about how the Merchant Navy had been ignored on Remembrance Day this year. And how brave a lot of them were. They were. I mean, they had high-octane fuel on board coming across the across the Mediterranean with this high-octane stuff, being attacked by German aircraft. They only needed to have one, and the whole thing would have gone up in flames. And they didn't know, coming back to this remote service you just had, they were hardly mentioned at all, which is quite wrong. Quite wrong. Because they were very brave chaps. I mean, you think of all the ones that came across the Atlantic.
So you didn't go to sea again then? At all, did you? As you were on operations?
No. I think that was the end of my sea going. I then went back from the Mediterranean to... Where did I go to then? Oh, the Admiralty, I think. The war was coming to an end by then.
Can you tell me a bit more of your time in Proteus? I mean, you had some successes, presumably, on your, what was it, 10 patrols you did?
Oh, yes. We very seldom came back without having sunk something.
Were you attacked at any time, depth charged?
Oh, yes. Every time we did an attack, we were counter-attacked. She got quite used to depth charges.
Was Proteus a good boat for avoiding attacks? Was she easily manoeuvrable?
No, she was too big. Well, you can't avoid the depth charges. Sometimes you can hear them.
What depth could you get to try and avoid them? What was your maximum?
Oh, you couldn't go much below 300 feet, and that didn't avoid them. You didn't know what depth the depth charge was set to. And the only advantage of going down deep was it stopped them hearing your propellers going round. I think is it Doppler effect? I can't remember, something like that. And
Their hydrophones could pick them up, I suppose, couldn't they?
Well, they won't hear the propellers if you're deep. When the propeller goes round, it leaves a sort of a vacuum behind them, you see what I mean? And when you're close to the surface, when you're on the surface, you know the noise that the propellers make, and you can hear them. And the deeper you go, the more silent they become. And so the only advantage of going deep was to avoid being heard by the hydrophones of the destroyer, and therefore not knowing where you are.
You enjoyed life in submarines, did you?
Oh, I think so, yes, yes. I suppose it was... perhaps satisfactory is not the right word, but yes, I think satisfactory is the right word. I think it was satisfactory to know that one's naval training was put to good effect. That went for everybody in the Navy. I mean, today there are people who are now admirals who've never seen a shot fired, which must be, having had all their training, it must be rather unsatisfactory. I have a nephew who you've probably heard of, James Salt, who was the captain of Sheffield out in the Falklands War. But he did see service out there, poor chap, because he had the Sheffield sunk. But he's retired now. But the First Sea Lord today, I don't think has ever been in a battle. He may have been, I don't know, I may be blinding him. But all one's training, it is nice to think that it was put to some use. Does that sound bad?
No, it's. I think what you're saying is you can see the results of your training.
Yes, that's right.
You are very close to the action, whereas in a big capital ship, with part of a task force, you're a cog in a wheel, much more.
Oh yes. You're going back to submarines versus the big ships. Yes, but I mean even the big ship people. Had their time. They didn't have a very good time, actually.
What about the discomforts of living on a submarine? I mean, can you tell me a bit about that and how you made do, how you survived them?
Well, we were quite happy. I think a submarine crew had a unique... relationship from top to bottom. We all ate the same food. We had a galley, and in the wardroom we ate exactly the same food as they had in the fore ends where the able seamen were. And that tended to make one sort of more the same. and we were all in it together. I mean, if the submarine was going to be sunk, well, we were all going to be sunk. And there's no question of the captain stepping off, as sometimes they did in these destroyers and things. They happened to be on the bridge, and they, and the wretched chaps down in the boiler room hadn't got a chance. And in submarines, it was always all or nothing, which tended to make you all closer together. And you were close together, too.
The toiletry facilities are pretty basic, weren't they?
Well, you had to be careful with them.
How many loos did you have among all?
Oh, I don't know. All the thing I know is that you had to know how to operate it, because instead of pulling the plug, you had to build up. I mean, this is when you were underwater. You had to build up a pressure of air to blow what you wanted to get rid of out of the submarine. And would have been all sorts of terrible things. When it's gone wrong, it's gone the wrong way. But no, I don't know. I suppose you had a petty officer's one, an officer's one, a petty officer's one, and two or three, one for the crew. But that's, yes.
Were you all reasonably healthy?
I think so, yes. We used to take pills, but I think all the Navy, we used to take pills for the heat. No, what did we have pills for?
Salt tablets.
Salt tablets, that's right. We took salt tablets and cod liver oil tablets and so on. Oh, yes, I think we were very healthy, really.
But living in close proximity
in a submarine.
In a steel tube, presumably it wasn't the healthiest kind of...
No, I don't think...
Coughs and sneezes spread fairly quickly, did they? Or?
Not noticeably, no. No. You got used to it.
When did you get married? Before the war? Or?
I got married in 1939. Yes. Are you interested in what I did before the war?
Yes.
Well, one of the things I did was to go round the world with the Duke and Duchess of York, the Queen Mama. Mm-hmm. And I was in Renown. And we took the Duke and Duchess of York, as they were then, Albert and Elizabeth, out to Australia to open the new Parliament at Canberra. I think it was more or less Canberra had just been made, I think, you know, it was a new town, wasn't it? And we took them out to open it. And we can't go and have a look. I've got a thing on the wall out there with all the places we went to. I mean, I was a midshipman. We had a marvellous time visiting all these places and being fated and so on. And I used to play squash with the Duke. I was the champion of the gun room where the midshipmen were. And he was rather good, actually. And we used to have quite good tussles, but he was awfully nice.
Did he have his stammer in those days? Did he always have the stammer?
Yes, not very noticeably, no.
The Duchess, presumably, was the only lady on the ship. I said, well, did she have a lady in waiting with her?
Oh, lots of them there, lots of them. Yes. Lots of ladies in waiting. I remember one morning we were in the tropics and it was frightfully hot, and the ladies in waiting were sleeping on deck, and when it came to hands fall in at 6, 7 o'clock or whatever it was, only about half of them returned. Were there, and it wasn't until the commander discovered that they were all up on the upper deck, looking down on the ladies in waiting, who were in their nighties and very little else on, and because it was frightfully hot, and they were.
But it was a fairly cushy run, was it? I mean, you didn't. Did you do lots of training or exercises, or was it virtually a royal yacht?
It was virtually a royal yacht.
I mean, where did the royal couple dine? With the captain every evening, did they, or in the water?
Oh, they had quarters of their own.
Yeah.
Royal quarters, yes.
I haven't heard of their trip. I knew the Prince of Wales' trip, because he went round the world in the Renown as well, didn't he?
I think he had a whole squadron with him, didn't he? We were alone.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. He went to India, didn't he? And
he visited all the empire, didn't he?
Yes. No, we purely went to Australia, but I've got the thing on the wall there. You could go and get it if you like. It's just past the round to the right,
yeah.
And it's the crossing the line certificate. Just past the door.
Yes, I've got it. The proclamation, is that it?
That's it. You bring it along.
I'll bring it in.
You can't help me. With getting the, I'm worried about their signatures because it's signed, you see. But that's the Queen Mum, and
just
Albert, yes, hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it gives you the names of all the places we went to.
Good heavens, yes.
It makes you realise.
Yes. 1927.
1927. That's right.
Yeah. And everyone. Had a certificate, did they, on board?
Oh, yes. Well, it's just crossing the line.
Oh, really? Oh, I see, yes. Yes, it's Neptune, isn't it? And how long did that take, that journey? Best part of the year, or...?
Yes, I think it was, yes. Yes, best part of the year. Yes, shove it anywhere.
Yeah. What other things did you get up to? The war.
Well, when I was in Repulse, I was married in June 1939, which wasn't the best time to get married, as it turned out, and I was in Repulse, and we were due to take the King and Queen to Canada. What we were doing, I'm not quite sure what they were going to do. I don't know. And anyway, they started to prepare her for royal quarters and so on. And I got married, and we had great plans to go to Canada together, or she would go, my wife would go across, and we should meet there. But unfortunately, it was decided that they couldn't risk sending the Repulse across the Atlantic. She'd have to stay behind and be prepared to fight the Germans. And so the whole thing was off, which is a pity.
Because didn't they go to the New York World Fair, the King and Queen?
They might have done. Mm. But we didn't go, see, we didn't know anything about it. Mm. They went across in a German ship, actually. Yeah, I've forgotten what it was called. Empress of Britain or Empress of something. And it was made in Germany. It was one of the ones we took off the Germans after the First World War.
Yeah.
Which was rather swindle. But anyway, it wasn't very easy. Getting married in June, then... Yes, anyhow, I went off to war, and really the first 5 years of my married life were in war, which was quite difficult.
Have you any other memories of those days?
I used to do a lot of sailing. Not really.